I can't sit here and tell you I've been in a good mood this week because I've been in arguably the worst mood in living history. I've been like walking around certain afternoons. I've been walking around with just the most hideous look on my face. It's been one of those, I don't know how I can put this without coming across as a giant knobhead, but I'm the biggest pacifist I can think of. I don't know if as a grown adult I've ever been in a fight, but I mean it was I just I've I was in such a foul mood at times that I was like, I don't know, sometimes people just say something and try to be funny, won't they? But I was in that mood where I was thinking, God, I hope that doesn't happen today because I can't be held responsible for what will happen. So luckily nobody said anything daft, but I've been in a stinking mood, and to top it all off, I've been a bit of a baby. And to make it even worse, I don't have a great deal to talk about in this episode, so let's just try and get through it, shall we? I don't know. In the space between me just giving you that intro to now, probably 2 minutes has elapsed, and I've been thinking, what has actually been at the root of your mild rage this week? And as I was thinking about it, I was like, do I really want to talk about that? Like, does anybody care? And I'm like, well, you've got nothing else, dude. And worse than that, it's not, I don't know if in the great scheme of things it's that big a problem. Maybe the problem's all mine. But long story short, I don't know that maybe I'm just too. You know how throughout the last, what episode is this? Anyways, it's episode 35. You know how over the last 35 or so weeks, I've referenced my general fondness for my own company. I've always worn that as a kind of badge. It's like, no, yes, this is episode 34. I've always worn that as a badge, and it's like I'm happy about that because for me, the opposite of not being happy in my own company is needing other people. And there's nothing wrong with needing other people, but everything operates on a scale, and I don't necessarily think it's healthy to need people excessively. But maybe I don't need people enough, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe I spend so much time in my own thoughts and my own world that when I encounter humans, chiefly people within my family whose outlook, or certainly whose willingness to see the better in things isn't aligned with mine, and usually I prefer to see the let's just say love shoveling on negativity. I'm not a big fan of that kind of human. So when you have those people in your close family, it can be a bit awkward when you spend a lot of time with them. So it kind of just grated on me this week, and it just, I don't know, I just felt my temper just getting worryingly low. And that's ultimately it. I wish there was a better, more valid reason for me being in a stinking mood, but it's just that. And I guess the older I get, the more aware I am of energies. And I suppose everybody has an energy, don't they? And some people have a nice, warm, optimistic, positive energy, and some people have a darker, more negative one. And I'm not necessarily compatible. And that's all it came down to. Spending excessive time around energies that aren't compatible with me had a huge, huge impact on my mood. And that's it, really. And that was where it started. And then I just descended into a cesspool of my own rage and anger and not wanting to talk to anybody. And yeah, I referenced also at the top of this episode that I turned into a big baby. That I've just referenced and shared, that doesn't make me a baby, but what happened as a result of that probably did. Because if you remember in last week's episode, I shared with you the free beer that I ordered via a brand called Beer 52, where they have this promotional offer for new customers where you only have to pay for shipping. I think it's £5.95, and they will ship you 8 free beers. And I did that. I opened one live on air. I loved it. And I was ranting on it. I had a mild orgasm on air. And I was ranting about it for a good 10, 15 minutes. And I thought to myself, actually, you know what? I'm going to reach out to Beer 52 and tell them, you know what? Because I planned on having a beer every week and sharing with you what I thought of it. And I thought, well, you could do that, but why not reach out to Beer 52 and see if they want to have a very loose, fun relationship with you over the course of the next 8 weeks. Like, guys, by the way, so let me just give you an insight. As a creator, as an artist, I'm trying to get a bit more strategic over what I do. So creating content for you guys for free, I love doing that, but it would be nice if there was some net gain for me additional to the fact we get to hang out and chat, and this is like therapy for me. I thought, well, it'd be nice if you're going to reference this brand, which was like an honest feeling and an honest outlook on their product, why not just reach out to them and say, do you want to just maybe, if I'm going to do this anyway, just share or just retweet the odd, whatever. Just say, this crazy lunatic, share, he's drinking our beers every week. I didn't think that was an unreasonable request. I reached out to them and I sent them a clip to the episode, which was like 20 minutes of me just blowing smoke up their arse because I genuinely enjoyed the beer. And I didn't hear back from them. And that pissed me off. Would not hearing back from them have pissed me off? Was I not already having a terrible week? Probably not. To be honest, if I'm going to be absolutely truthful, maybe not. But I was having a shit week. So as far as I'm concerned, fuck them. The fact they didn't have the decency to at least say, no, well, you know what, CK, we have our influencers that we work with and you're not on that. That would have been fine. But just the fact I sent them a link to a podcast where I was ranting about how awesome the product was for 20 minutes and not even a courtesy reply, I just thought, fuck them. And cancelled my subscription, which again, to be fair, I was going to do anyway, but I did it joyfully because I was thinking pricks. So look, in all honesty, the beers that I've had between last week's episode and this week's episode, I've genuinely enjoyed all of them. One of them was distinctly average, but I can't sit here and say that the beers that Beer 52 sent me were awful, because to be brutally honest with you, every single one of them I genuinely liked. Most of them I loved. But that, with regret, does not absolve them of being pricks. So that is just the way it is. And I've also been saving for this week. You know how last week I mentioned the one that was called Tea Party? Cream ale with green tea. I was going to like drink that live on air, and I still am. And I've got it here now. Hang on. I've got it here now because I've literally sucked most of them. I think I've got three left, including this one. So I'm not even fucking am I recording? Oh, sorry. I just had an almost nightmare then when I thought I'm not recording. So this week is going even worse, but I am recording. So I am going to try this one. But this is going to be awkward, because if this isn't nice, it's going to seem like it's sour grapes. But if it is nice, I don't want it to be nice because I don't want to give them anything else. But it is what it is. So how are you? I've literally just given you 8 minutes of diatribe. I hope you're... So this Tea Party one, nice colour, cloudy. Smells refreshing. Yeah, smells refreshing. I have no idea what green tea in a beer is going to be like, but between you and me, I hope this is putrid. Let's have a look. Honestly, I technically can't win here for reasons I've already outlined. If I don't like it, it seems like sour grapes. If I do like it, I don't want to because, again, pricks, right? This isn't in the category of the five that they sent me that I loved. This is in the category of the other one, which was distinctly average. It was a Pilsner or pale ale. It doesn't matter what it was, but this is I'd give this like 4.9 out of 10. Honestly, 4.9 out of 10 for that tea party. It's not horrible, but it just doesn't taste of a great deal. It's refreshing, but it doesn't have like a distinct sharp taste that I usually like from my IPAs or my lagers. But there we go. I cancelled the subscription, had a massive huff, but felt good that I cancelled it. And by the way, can you just send me a message on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whether or not I sound like a baby? I'm leaning in that direction, but it is what it is. Also, I bought a new portable wireless Bluetooth speaker 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and it arrived. I really liked it, and I did a little video for online, and I thought, actually, now I'm thinking more strategically about my content moving forward. I thought, well, actually, before I release this video, I'm going to reach out to the speaker people and see if they want to do a little bit of online dialogue with me as well. Didn't hear back from them, so unfollowed them on Twitter. Sorry, I just said that out loud and I'm listening to myself. What a knob. Well, you have the luxury and the benefit of hearing me at my worst this week, because I have not a great deal else. I've mentioned this to you before. Usually, as the week progresses between each episode, I write down talking points because I don't want to get to the day of recording and have to fumble and think about what I'm going to chat to you about. So whenever I get inspiration, I write it. Oh, that'd be great to talk about. That'd be great to talk about. There's not been any of that all week, so I've not had a great deal to share with you. So this episode is going to be noticeably absent of anything of note, right? The time now, by the way, is it's Thursday, the 10th of September. 10 minutes to 10 in the evening. This will be coming out tomorrow, as it always does. What else have I got on my list? I have actually got some things on my list, and I've actually crossed some things out, because despite the fact I don't have a great deal, I was like, you can't talk about that. You've got nothing to say. You've got no jokes, nothing. Let me tell you what I've crossed out on my list. I've crossed out boy-girl masks. Someone tweeted a minute ago how horrified her young daughter was when she came back from school with masks that they're providing, face masks, and they are distinctly gendered. So the boys' masks are dark blues and dark greys, and the girls' masks are light pink and dark pink with lipsticks on them. I've actually retweeted it saying, I invented a new word to define that image. What did I call it? Puketer. I invented a new word called puketer. Noun. And it's a state of simultaneous puking and laughter. I did find it enormously insipid. It was gross. And, you know, the gendering of children I hate. But I'm not going to talk about that. What I planned on saying to you was I hate the lack of thought that goes into having children, taking them for clothes and just automatically default buying the girl pink and the boy blue. It's like, do you have any imagination? I can't lie. I dress my child, male or female, black, head to toe. I just would. But wouldn't be comfortable in the summertime. Might melt a little bit, the human, not the clothes. But I don't know. I've always found that deeply insipid. But I find having children equally as insipid, so whatever. I don't really find having children insipid. I've got to the stage in my life when I concede that I've never had the maternal pang. But I'm not saying that I might not meet the perfect human being, and then we might decide, yeah, let's have a little CK. So actually, when that little shit's been a baby, at least he's got the right to. So I crossed out boy girl masks. Ironically, I've just done a thing about it. Dream guests. So I've got some great, interesting people that I've been talking about. I mentioned last week how the CK Golding website, I want it to be a place where I can talk to some interesting, engaging people. And I was going to talk to you about my dream guest list, but nope, that's shit. So I'm not going to talk about that. What am I going to talk about? What have I got on here? I've got written on here, Alicia has quit being a cam girl. All right, I'm going to talk about this briefly, because this is interesting from a psychological point of view, because I've always prided myself on being rightly or wrongly. I've always prided myself on having a higher than average. I should start having a bell alert where I ring a bell every time I'm going to say something and make me sound like a giant egotistical bell end. So can someone just ring a fictitious bell, please? Thanks. I've always prided myself on having an above average EQ, emotional intelligence, my ability to judge people and stuff. And maybe I can't even judge myself anymore. So if you go back to episode, you know I like detail, you know I like accuracy. So episode 23, Secrets of an Online Sex Girl. That is where I interviewed Alicia, who works as a cam girl. She has a webcam from her home where she does strip teases and takes requests from dudes who pay her money to appease their sexual desires. And ultimately, during that and by the end of that conversation with Alicia, I was very much of the mind, well, she's happy doing what she's doing, so who is anybody to judge? Because she does encounter judgment from people in her immediate community where she lives. She lives in a very small village in Buxton, and her family, and just random people online who sometimes feel the need to share their dismay at her life choices. And then some of you guys replied, sent me messages after that episode saying that you're not convinced with her life choices either. And I spent almost all of episode 26 taking the piss out of one of you that sent me a message saying that you don't agree with her life choices. Episode 26, by the way, which I called I'll Regret This Episode in the Morning, still remains one of my favourite, but seemingly the person that questioned her decision maybe had more maybe there was more basis to his questioning, for a reason I'm going to outline in a minute. But finally, my mate Mark, who I've been trying to get on this episode forever, and maybe I will, maybe I won't, but he was also convinced that she is not necessarily as satisfied or content with her choices as she suggests. And I was like, well, why do you think that? And he just says, nobody wants to, CK, perform sex shows or striptease or whatever online, however much she's earning, which is a handsome amount of money, significantly more than the average retail job, significantly more, you know, sometimes 700 to 800 quid a day, whatever. Nobody's long-term wanting to do that. And I don't know if it's conducive to a positive mental health. But I wasn't convinced with that argument either. But let me share with you what Alicia said on Instagram today. And if you wish to find Alicia on Instagram, it is Alicia, ElysiaEtc, Alicia, etc. And she put this. This might be the time for you to go and make some toast or something, because it's quite a lengthy. Well, it's not lengthy. It's probably going to take me 60 to 70 seconds to go through. So she's written this. Before I deactivate social media and assume a new identity, I'd like to say thank you to all my friends and family who have supported me during my time working in the adult industry. In hindsight, I understand that especially for family members, my career decisions may have caused stress and embarrassment, and I sincerely apologize to those impacted by my choices. I'm grateful that I was able to achieve financial security and keep a roof over my head. But after 2 years of working in the adult industry, I have reached a stage where I no longer feel happy in the line of work, and no amount of money is worth sacrificing my sanity and health. I also feel that profiting from others working in the sex industry is not in alignment with my core values and beliefs. And so I will no longer continue running my webcam modelling agency. I feel a responsibility to set a positive example to my child and show him that no matter what your circumstances and no matter how many challenges you face in life, we all have the power within us to make our dreams a reality, if we truly believe in ourselves. I have been at rock bottom more times than I've had hot dinners, but each time I fall, I get back up and keep going. And I can wholeheartedly say that love is the source of that strength. With that said, I am slightly nervous but extremely happy to announce that, at least for the foreseeable future, I am no longer a cam girl. End message. So, this is the problem with this, because I'm becoming more aware of I'm becoming more aware of how prone us humans are to always bring everything back to ourselves. So I'm reading that, which for all intents and purposes, on face value, is someone at a precipice in their life and they're making a huge life decision, a huge pivot. And here I am thinking, oh, I'm a shit judge of character. Like, why was that my first thought? Like, screw your judgment, prick. It's not about you, dude. I've discussed metacognition in previous episodes, haven't I? How keen I am to question my immediate thoughts and challenge them. And the minute I had that, oh God, you're not great at judging people. My first thought was, why is this about you, knobhead? I mean, you can add that to the list of reasons you've been a giant prick this week. I mean, there was the, oh, I'm going to cancel my beer subscription. There was the, I hope no one looks at me today because I'm not in the mood. And here you are, amid a woman making a huge transitional decision, bringing it back to you like, what is your problem? So I thought metacognition was good when I became more aware of the value of questioning your immediate thoughts, but maybe I'm actually just, with regret, realising I'm not a massive fan of me. But anyway, so what do you reckon to that message then? Based on everything Alicia said and we learnt and we explored in episode 23, what do you glean from that message? It's really interesting, especially, where's that bit when she says, I'm no longer happy in my line of work. No amount of money is worth sacrificing my sanity and health. I think it was the bit when she talks about it's no longer in alignment with my values. That was a huge... that was a huge pivot from what we learned and what she shared with us during that interview, wasn't it? Here we are. I also feel that profiting from others working in the sex industry is not in alignment with my core values and beliefs. I don't know. This is... that's a huge, huge, huge contradiction to what we explored in the interview when she was saying, why should the sex industry be... Why should that be frowned upon? Why should I have to be constantly fending off opinions and views from people who don't respect my choice and what I decide to do with my A, body, B, life? And we also explored, why is there such taboo over the sex industry and over the human body and over sex? But here, seemingly the sex industry is not in alignment with my core values and beliefs. So that was just, again, so many questions came up, and I did send her a voice message as well via WhatsApp, just as Alicia's never, she's always been very frank and candid about her ongoing relationship with mental health, and it's always been a turbulent one for her. So I just sent her a voice message saying, hope you're well, we all have shit times at times, and we will do cake. That was the abridged version. And yeah, I don't know. I'd be fascinated to hear your thoughts with that. And I'm sitting here now saying that it's given me great cause to ponder. You know the thing I always do? I generally just take people on face value, I suppose. I've always had that tendency. And if somebody says something, I'm very much, until you prove me any different, then fine. If you say that you're happy with your decisions in the sec, I don't know, but maybe I should delve a bit deeper. My mate Mark was telling me delve deeper. I don't think that she's necessarily as content as she makes out. The guy that sent me a direct message that was the inspiration between episode 26, when I just took the piss out of him for the entire episode, he was pretty much saying there's something else. And I was there saying, no, she's happy. Just piss off. Seemingly, I need to scratch beneath more surfaces. So, that's that. That's really all I have to say. And I welcome your input based on what I've just said. And what I've just read. So, let me cross that off my list of things to talk to you about today, because crossing out buys me a few valuable seconds to think about what I'm going to talk to you about next. Maybe I'll have a sip of this shit beer. Okay. Also on this list, I have the Night documentary. Yeah, this is another scraping the barrel, but I will share this with you, actually. I will share this Night documentary with you. I don't know if you're a fan of true crime documentaries. I know a lot of humans are. For some reason, earlier on this year, I just discovered a series on YouTube called Crimes That Shook Australia. Really good series. And I tweeted about this episode this week, but the clip I'm going to play for you now isn't even the bit that I tweeted, but I'm just going to play this with you. If you enjoy true crime with some crazy ass maniacs, this might be the one for you. This is a woman who had a history of mental and physical abuse for her boyfriends, and it reached an apex when she killed one of them, and she's just an absolute fruit loop. So this is the cops entering the premises or the house or the home of her current boyfriend who hadn't turned up for work. His manager called the police because apparently this guy not turning up for work was extremely, just didn't happen. I keep saying boyfriend, but these are like grown ass humans. Like, she was, they're both late 40s, I would say. So anyway, cop entering the house. Here we go.
As Graham and Scott try to locate the missing man, they are suddenly faced with the most horrific scene ever to be witnessed.
I realised then it was a human pelt. It was the skin minus the head. A full skin just hanging from the top door frame. Looked past it and saw a torso on the ground without a head and without any genitalia. And I think my first reaction then was to turn around to Scotty and say, "Don't look, Scotty." Of course, that's the worst thing you could say.
So this is Crimes That Shook Australia, Catherine Mary Knight. If you put that into YouTube, you'll find it. It's quite food for thought. And what's even more depressing about this particular episode, I was just playing that to you thinking, why are you playing this for them again? Like, is there a reason? Like... And I remember watching this episode thinking, in terms of her behaviour and how irrational she is and how the smallest thing would send her flying off the deep end and the emotional abuse. There's someone very close to me, a very close friend of mine. And, I've often thought I wouldn't be surprised if something similar happened, because there's just a very bizarre, there's a very curious nature to his relationship with his wife, and I'm just going to leave it there. But I've thought that for years, but I don't know. I've never been in an emotionally or physically abusive relationship, but I've always been weirdly fascinated by them. And when you hear of someone just flipping and skinning her partner and cutting him up and putting his head in a pan, it's just beyond the realms of normality. But my question to you is, what is it about, in inverted commas, rational thinking people that are so fascinated by these documentaries? Like, I can't sit here and tell you that I don't. I'm going to use the word cautiously and slightly embarrassingly, but I'm going to use it. Like, I don't know why I necessarily enjoy these things. Do you? I mean, do you enjoy them? Not do you know why I enjoy them? Like, how the fuck do I know why I enjoy them? But like, do you enjoy these documentaries? I don't know why we do. Or why I do. I should. Maybe that, for my next edition of Random Humans, just ring up a random psychologist at a university, a leading university, ring up a psychologist and ask them why we're so fascinated by these documentaries. I'd be fascinated to know what he or she would say. Plus, I've not done Random Human in a while. If you're new to this documentary, Random Human is an intermittent feature where I ring and punch 11 random digits into my phone, and whoever answers, I ask them a question about life, love, hopes, dreams, relationships, anything in between. And I'd love to ring up a scientist or a professor and just ask them the question. Maybe I'll do that and play it for you next week. I don't know. But on that, I had some feedback. Last week, I mentioned the audio drama by the BBC called Fake RS, which is, I was going to say it's the best audio drama I've ever listened to, but it's actually the only audio drama I've ever listened to, and it blew me away. I was obsessed with it. I finished all 6 episodes in under 24 hours. I recommended it highly, and I got a tweet from Joe saying, not for me. Stunned. She said, I had to leave it and come back and restart as I had an issue with the accents. I replied, the accents annoyed you? She replied, yes, big time. I replied, I can see why that would be unacceptable to some, because the accents when they were putting on American accents was a little bit flaky at times, somewhat wobbly, but I wasn't bothered. The story was that interesting. And Joe wasn't having it. So Fake RS is about Anna Delvey, who was a very, very average, run-of-the-mill, born in Russia, lived in Germany with her mum and dad. She was 20 when she decided she wanted a better life. Long story short, moved to New York and pretended she was the heiress to a £62 million fortune. And she did everything she can to get herself in the circles of the rich, famous and influential, and racked up bills to the tune of hundreds of thousands of pounds. It's a remarkable story, somewhat unbelievable, and I just thought it was remarkable, and so much so, in fact, that I reached out to the BBC journalist and narrator, who is called Vicky Baker, invited her to have an interview with me on my website. As you know, I'm wanting to do some interesting and engaging talks with interesting people, and she was like, yeah, love to. So I'm going to bring you that interview very soon, but I can't recommend it enough. It's called Fake RS, 6 parts. Each part is 30 minutes, so it's super snackable. I loved it. Joe didn't, but screw Joe. Screw the world this week, as far as I'm concerned. I've been reading a lot of how to have a successful podcast recently, and surprisingly, at no point did it say, tell your listeners to screw themselves. Here's a clip from my chat with Vicky. As a human being, I wonder, as you were researching and writing and producing this audio series, were there any character traits she had that you thought were admirable? You thought, actually, I could do with a little bit more of that. Because there was certainly some for me, and I wonder if you had any. I mean, I'm happy to share mine if you want me to go first and put my neck on the block.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. That sort of self-confidence, I suppose, and there's a certain element of her who sort of just went in there, almost didn't care what people think. Obviously, she did want to make an impression with these in these certain circles, but there's a certain amount of just putting yourself out there and having the self-belief, I suppose. I mean, it does fall into delusion, I would say, at a certain point. But if you could tap into just having that confidence and self-belief, it would be beneficial in a lot of our lives.
Do genuinely loved talking to Vicky. And honestly, when will you get to hear that interview in full? Whenever I can be asked to edit the audio. I've developed a newfound love for the written interview, actually, weirdly. And I think that's because I realised that once I started producing so many of these audio interviews, it takes such, it's such a labour-intensive job if you want to get it to the level that I like to get my audio interviews. So I will endeavour to get my interview with Vicky Baker, journalist and narrator of the remarkable six-part audio series Fake Heiress, up soon. Also, as of, depending on when you're listening to this, but tomorrow, which will be Friday the 11th of September, my interview with a remarkable talent called Samara Ginsberg will be live on ckgolding.com. And Samara Ginsberg went viral and has been going viral throughout lockdown. She's a very talented and professional cellist, which to you and I is a cello player. And I could sit here all day and talk to you about my love of cellos. Like, funnily enough, if you type at CK Golding space cello into YouTube, you'll see a list of tweets that go back to about 2017. And I'd sometimes just randomly tweet about cellos when it's like midnight and I'm lying in bed listening to a cello. My relationship with cellos it goes back quite some time. I don't know if you're familiar with the search tool on Twitter. It's one of my favourite things when I want to find old tweets that I need for some reason. But yeah, if you type at CK Golding space cello, enjoy. So I reached out to Samara and asked would she be open to having a chat on my website. And she said, yes, let's do that. So she's been great. What she's been doing is performing famous, iconic, retro TV themes on her cello, but not just one Samara. There's eight. She has this cool app where she's able to play all cello parts. So it sounds like an orchestra, but it's obviously just her. And she's playing different parts, coming in at different times, and it's brilliant. And just to give you an insight, I'm going to play you one of her videos, which as we sit here chatting right now, has accumulated 3.5 million views on Twitter, over 1.5 million views on YouTube. And it was released in May. So that's like four months ago. And she's released X-Men. She's released Inspector Gadget. She's released Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She's released just iconic retro themes that take you back. And she's very funny, very witty on Twitter. So let me just, I just said Twitter. Why did I just say Twitter? Who do I think I am? Let me play a clip. Here we go. So that was Samara playing her reimagining of Knight Rider, of course, and that just went nuts online, went super viral. And one of my favourite questions, there's two favourite questions I asked Samara in our interview. And as you know, throughout this podcast series, I've been fascinated by the concept of fame, and I'm always fascinated by when artists have been chipping away at their art form for years, when they create something that just really captures the imagination of the public and it just goes nuts. I've always been fascinated by that biology. So I asked her, because she's been international, she's been featured in various news reports. And I asked her question 7. I'm always fascinated to hear how artists deal with their first taste of viral status. So give me 3 words that best describe how it felt when your videos started amassing those crazy numbers. Then she gave me 3 words. Go on to SikaGolding.com to find out the 3 words that she gave me. Then I asked her, and when the BBC in the UK and Your Morning, a TV channel in Canada, started championing you, did you fully embrace the spotlight, or was there a little bit of hiding under the kitchen table going on? And I loved her answer. I loved it. Because the reason I loved her answer to that is because if you follow her on Twitter, she's very witty, very sharp, highly sarcastic. So I thought her answer would be a little bit in that vein. And no, she was very honest about how it felt to... She's been playing the cello for 25 years, I think 25 years. She tours domestically and internationally. She's highly renowned and highly thought of in the classical music arena. But in terms of like an international name, not necessarily. But she's obviously, that doesn't mean you're not successful in what you do. So I was fascinated what it's like when you've been doing what you've been doing for years, but then you just suddenly go viral. So get onto ckgolding.com to read my full interview with Samara to hear her answer to that. And this is, in fact, one of the international news stories about her as well.
I've got some really cool video to show you today. We're going to start with a cellist who has been doing some remixes while in quarantine. She's getting really creative. Her name is Samara Ginsberg. Check this out. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, come on. Wow.
This is Inspector Gadget.
This is very cool.
Isn't it? This is called Time on Your Hands. She's very talented. Okay, let's see some more. How about this one?
And then that interview continues. So that was a Canadian news breakfast TV show called Your Morning. And as I said, you know, Samara has gone viral and she lives in Southeast London with her boyfriend and her Persian cat. So yeah, I don't know, I knew nothing about her till my brother, big love to my brother, hence why he's my favorite human, just sent me a random WhatsApp message on Tuesday of this week, maybe even Monday, and I was all into it straight away. I think it's her performance of X-Men which blew my mind. I've always loved that theme tune, so her X-Men theme tune is class. So jump onto ckgolding.com, my full, thorough, detailed, probing interview with Samara will be up there within seconds of you listening to me talking on this podcast. It will be available for you to enjoy. I don't believe I have anything further to say. Oh, actually, I tell a lie. My closing thought for this week, let's quickly do CK's Crummy Book.
CK's Crummy Book. It's like a journal, but shitter.
So CK's Crummy Book is my diary / journal / piece of tat where I write my weekly thoughts based on inspiring, interesting, thought-provoking comments that I just hear whilst watching stuff online or listening to stuff on my phone, whatever. And they're usually musings that I... That give me great pause and optimism and positivity and just something to think about and certainly something to live by. And usually I wholeheartedly agree with it as well. So this week's entry comes from US comedian Whitney Cummings. I think I've referenced her in previous episodes. In fact, I know for a fact I've referenced Whitney previously. Like her a lot because she's fascinated by the mind and psychology. And this is what I wrote down in my crummy book this week. Whitney says this about spending too much time in your own thoughts. Oh, hang on a minute. I've not even got... Oh, hang on. Here we go. I had the wrong book. Jesus, I just realised I've been looking in the wrong book. Right, so Whitney says this. Your mind is a dangerous place. Don't go in there alone. Think about someone else. Do something for someone else. Take the focus off you because we get too myopic when we self-obsess. And I just can't disagree. I've referenced this in previous episodes. You know, whenever I just for no reason, find an artist that I have a lot of time for and I just do whatever I can to help them. It is a remarkable feeling of fulfillment, and it really is. And it takes my mind off myself, my own issues, concerns, hopes, dreams, ambitions, all that kind of nonsense. And just putting your focus on someone else when you're feeling less than motivated about your own shit is very powerful. And I felt that this week around the release of someone I've never met, but we've connected online. We have a respect for each other's work. She's very young and I love how great she is. And she's 21. She's called Kristin Brookman. She released a short film earlier on this year called Uninspired Moments. And she released yesterday her follow-up, a short live online play called Hi Stranger, released in celebration of World Suicide Prevention Day. And it is a story about suicidal thoughts told through the lens of online dating. Two young people, one male, one female, after several messages exchanged via a social dating app, decide to meet on Zoom. And one of them tells the other that they've been having suicidal thoughts. And this might sound really heavy and really, this sounds heavy going. Of course, the issue of suicide is heavy going, rightly so. But the thing I like most about Kristin, and she stands by this, she has no interest in producing films that are hard to get through and are heavy going. Certainly, she'll tackle an issue which is not exactly dandelions and, you know, dandelions and rainbows, but she always likes to approach them with a huge dollop of optimism and positivity and levity. And she did exactly that in this. And we had the world premiere yesterday evening with myself and the two lead actors, Penelope and Tom. And if you want to go onto YouTube and type Hi Stranger short play, you'll probably find it, or just go onto my Twitter and you'll find it there as well. And there was the live broadcast, plus all four of us got together, had a chat. I was chairing the entire stream. So it's all four of us on screen talking about Hi Stranger after you get to watch it for yourself. It's only 12 minutes of your time. So my point is this. Firstly, go and watch it. Secondly, the time I spent doing some PR for Kristin this week, reaching out to press and media on her behalf, gave me an opportunity to forget about my own shitty mood. So that's what I wanted to talk about in terms of CK's crummy book and Whitney saying focus on someone else to take the focus off yourself has enormous benefits. I wholeheartedly agree. In fact, I was a little bit freaked out by it because I was, you know, doing all the press and media for Chris, and I was thinking, shit, you've not thought about what a child you've been all week because you've been focused on Kristin. So that was nice, and I wonder if you have an experience of that. Have you found that whenever you just selflessly and just because you want to do something for somebody else, it just instantly takes your attention off your own shit? I'd be fascinated to know. Every time I've done it in the past, usually for artists, because I have that just inbuilt affinity and connection to them, I just like doing what I can to help them out. Every time I've done it, I find it to be super beneficial. And I wonder if you can relate in any way, whether it's art or whether it's just a random friend or a random human or whatever. Have you found that when you just reach out and help and support someone else for no reason, it is conducive to a better mood for you personally? If so, I welcome your thoughts, your anecdotes, your opinions and experiences. Send me a direct message on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, if you really have to, Jesus Christ. And I don't think we have anything else to discuss other than thank you for listening to this week, because I'm not convinced. Can you do me a favor? This is going to sound really self-serving, and guess what? It really is. I can't lie. It's incredibly self-serving, but I am, as you know, a huge fan of psychology. So my question to you is this. I don't imagine this episode has been necessarily entertaining to you. That said, some of my favourite podcasts is when they release episodes like this, where it's just them having a shit day. I find them deeply listenable. I find them deeply engaging and interesting. But as us humans, we always undermine how interesting we are ourselves. So my question to you is, I don't imagine this has been great for you to listen to, but I also know that this is the kind of an episode I enjoy from my favourite podcaster. So has it been the same here? Has this been utter dog shit? Or has this been as listenable as other ones or more so? I welcome your honesty. You know I am not the kind of guy that if you send me a tweet saying, yeah, CK, to be honest with you, episode 35 was a bit shit, dude. I appreciate, you know, I'm going to give you a pass because you're usually all right, but yeah. No, this is episode 34, isn't it? This is 34, not 35. 35 might be shit, though. I can't speak for next week. I'm hoping I'll have something to talk to you about next week, but I can't speak for 35. So let's just focus on this one, 34. If you want to send me a tweet saying, yeah, I don't know, CK, it was a little bit self-indulgent. You've been a mardy little shithead. It wasn't for me. I don't know. Just send me that tweet because I am fascinated by what works from a listener point of view because, you know, the listener experience is distinctly different to the maker's experience, that me talking to you. So I would appreciate that. I literally have nothing else other than my gratitude for listening to this utter shitfest. Let's chat next week.